Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 377, titled Update on Altaqua and the Post-War Fascist International. This is being recorded on September 15th of 2002. At the outset of this side, let me remind you that within a week of this broadcast, there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record 377 in the For the Record section of the Real Audio-equipped Spitfire website, so that if people find this presentation pedantic or too dense, there will be plenty of material available in print, on the web, and with featuring long excerpts of text so that people can peruse it at length and disseminate it on their own. Be aware that in addition to the fact that the Spitfire website is equipped with Real Audio, sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y. Older programs are available on a longer URL linked to both the For the Record section of the Spitfire website and the other WFMU URL. Now, let's proceed with side two of For the Record 377. I'm in the middle of presenting sections of a paper that was written by Kevin Coogan, which in turn represents an expository summary of a very important recent book published in Switzerland. The book, and I'm going to ask your forgiveness of my imperfect German pronunciation, the book is titled Schmutzige Geschäfte und Heiliger Krieg, Al-Qaeda in Europe, Dirty Business and Holy War, Al-Qaeda in Europe, published by Pendo Verlag, Zurich, 2002. The book was co-authored by Johannes and Germana von Donagny, both respected journalists in Switzerland, and Johannes was the author of an article about Altaqua that was published in Weltwoche and which comprised much of the broadcast in 342 about Altaqua. This particular paper was developed by Kevin Coogan in order to basically provide a summary and expose of the material that was developed by the Donagnys. This book was published, of course, in German. Most people do not, at least in this country, don't speak German. And I want to stress that, as Kevin emphasizes, the research here was developed by the Donagnys, and they are both reporters, not historians. So this is material that should be viewed as still under investigation. That's not meant to cast aspersions on it, but this is the front line of investigative reporting, and I want to stress that Kevin has developed this paper in order to basically expose this material in German to English language researchers and historians. So this is a great service that has been done for us by Kevin Coogan. Now I'm going to resume with a section of this paper. By the way, the paper is titled Report on Islamists, the Far Right, and Altaqua. And I'm going to skip ahead to a section of this paper in which Kevin talks about the many very, very quick trips made by Osama bin Laden, the head of SICO, the Saudi investment company, to Milan, Italy. Many of these trips were far too short to have been for even shopping, and so it remains an open question as to why Osama bin Laden, Osama's half-brother and, according to investigators, a person whose SICO, Saudi investment company, has served as a front for the laundering of money for Al-Qaeda. In discussing the many trips that Osama bin Laden had made to Milan, the author discusses the fact that the passenger manifests on some of the flights list a Carlos Rocha, a name unknown to investigators, but one of the members of the SICO advisory board is a fellow named Charles Rocha. Instead of Carlos, it's Charles Rocha. And I would note here, as we're going to review, first of all, Charles Rocha as a close associate of Baudin Dunant, the co-chairman of the board of SICO, and Baudin Dunant, in turn, was a very close friend of François Genoux, a key Nazi operative in the pre-World War II, World War II, and post-World War II eras. Baudin Dunant had represented Genoux, as we looked at in For the Record 354 and 355, when Genoux was charged with terrorism, or with terrorist-related activities in France in 1983. We reviewed that, by the way, in For the Record 376. I would note that in addition, Baudin Dunant and Charles Rocha are both very close to people from the Iran-Contra milieu, specifically an American tax attorney named Willard Zucker, who lives in Geneva and who handled some of the corporate activities on behalf of Albert Hakim, Richard Secord, and Oliver North's enterprise, which was used to help fund some of the Iran-Contra-related activities. I would note that the enterprise business discussed here is different from the enterprise run by Zucker, Hakim, and Company, but it is more than a little interesting to see key members of the board of SECO involved with some of these Iran-Contra money and gun movers. And I would note in that regard that a couple of the other members of the board of directors, and we're not going to talk about this here, of SECO, are the Shikarkis, whose names crop up in connection with Iran-Contra-related activities, as well as some of the drug traffic linked with the Turkish Grey Wolves. Now, talking about the association between Charles Shaw and Baudin Dunant, Kevin writes here, and I'm going to overlap this a little bit with the text that we listened to at the first half. However, there is a Charles Shaw who was on the SECO advisory board. Is this a typo, or is there someone else using a false passport? They can't get an answer from Islam bin Laden, who is silent on this matter. It is equally possible that bin Laden's silence about Shaw is meant to avoid other problems that might arise, such as why Charles Shaw and Baudin Dunant, two members of the SECO advisory board who were attorneys on May 21, 2001, liquidated the business Tyndall Trust that had first been registered in Villars-sur-Glâne near Fribourg in January of 1986. They fulfilled the same function for a sister society of the Tyndall Trust that shared the same name and that was opened up in 1990 in Geneva and liquidated in January of 2001. One of the top managers of the Tyndall Trust since its founding was the American tax attorney Willard Zucker, who lives in Geneva. Zucker, Z-U-C-K-E-R, also controls the Lake Geneva registered Compagnie de Services Fiduciaires, or CSF. And CSF had, along with participation from Tyndall Trust, assumed financial management for a corporate group named Enterprise. Enterprise, however, had nothing to do with a successor company to the 1983 founded successor to the Albert Hakim and U.S. General Richard Secord founded Stanford Technologies Trading Group International, or STTGI, which later changed its name to Enterprise and administered secret and illegal weapons shipments with Iran and the Contras. The same Willard Zucker arranged payments from the Enterprise account for Oliver North. In 1986, the Syrian Manzer al-Qasar was paid from an enterprise account for a weapons deal with the Contras. But al-Qasar was not only one of the great world's great weapons dealers, he also had close ties with Islamic fundamentalist and terrorist groups in the Middle East. Al-Qasar also worked with an international group interested in sending toxic and atomic waste materials by ship to Mozambique. I would also note that Al-Qasar's name crops up in connection with the Pan Am 103 bombing and in connection with the Israeli embassy bombing in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in 1992 and the AMIA bombing in 1994. We've talked about Al-Qasar at great length in past broadcasts, and for those of you who are sound sleepers, just consider the possibility of Manzer al-Qasar working with an international group interested in sending toxic and atomic waste materials by ship to Mozambique. That should be a good way to keep toxic and nuclear materials out of the hands of terrorists, eh? Anyway, more of Kevin Coogan's summary of the von Dohany book. As for Zucker, he has constantly denied that any of his activity on behalf of the Enterprise Group from America infringed on either Swiss or U.S. law. What is even more surprising than finding out the links between Rochat and Dunant with a representative of the Iran-Contra affair like Zucker is finding a connection point between Islamic terrorism and the far right. For it turns out that Baudin Dunant was not only the attorney for François Genoux, the old Swiss Nazi who died in 1996, but also his close friend. And in numerous broadcasts, we've talked about the relationship between Genoux and many Middle Eastern terrorist elements, Genoux's connections to the Third Reich, and his connections to Ahmed Huber. And again, in addition to his landmark magnum opus, Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yaki and the Postwar Fascist International, Kevin Coogan is also the author of The Mysterious Ahmed Huber, Friend to Hitler, Allah, and Bin Laden. That's now available on the web, and it comprises the bulk of the broadcast for the record 354. Next, we're going to talk about Kevin Coogan's relating of the Donanyi's account of the founding of Al-Taqwa. In addition to Youssef Nada and the aforementioned Ahmed Huber, some of the names to note here are Mohammed Mansour, also connected with the Banco del Guitarra, which overlaps the Nada management, and also Ahmed Idris Nasreddin and Ali Galeb Himat. But also note that one of the connections between this Islamo-fascist milieu and some of the Italian fascist milieu surrounding the P2, Silvio Berlusconi and the Alleanza Nazionale will emerge here. We talked about this in For the Record 359. One of the early shareholders of Al-Taqwa was Alessandro Gay, a member of the Ordine, that's spelled G-H-E, a member of the Ordine Nuovo, and a notorious Italian fascist. About the founding of Al-Taqwa, Kevin writes, on July 21, 1988, at the bureau of a Lugano-based attorney named Gianluca Boscaro gathered Huber, the Swiss professor Hochschulher Mohammed Mansour, and his wife Zainab Mansour Fatou, as well as the Tunisian Youssef Nada and Ali Galeb Himat, who both live in the Italian enclave of Campione d'Italia in Switzerland. Himat had come from Damascus in 1958 and first settled down in Germany and then in Austria. The Alexandrian-born Egyptian Nada, 2 years later, came first to Austria and then Germany. Nada's oldest daughter married the son of the director of the Islamist center in Aachen, Al-Attar Issam, who was considered by the German Office for the Protection of the Constitution, or Verfassungsschutz, as one of the most dangerous Islamists in Germany. Nada later settled down in Ticino, or Ticine. Both Nada and Himat are members of the Muslim Brotherhood, and in the 1990s, both took Italian citizenship. The goal of the meeting with the notary was the founding of Al-Taqwa Management Organization S.A. that said it would be concerned with importing and exporting various goods around the world. 333 of the 1,000 shares at 100 Swiss francs a share went to Mohammed Mansour and his wife. 332 went to Huber, Nada, and Himet took the rest. Mansour was named the president, but rarely was the clause in the contract mentioned that each decision must be co-signed by the minority holders Nada and Himat. Meanwhile, Nada became associated with such prestigious groups as the Pio Manzu think tank, which is located on the Adriatic coast and includes the likes of Gianni Agnelli and Henry Kissinger. When Nada was questioned in October of 2001, first by the Italian and later by the Swiss public prosecutors, he said he was innocent of any involvement in terrorism. Nor could he remember where all the Zakat money went. This got a friendly laugh from the officials, who could fill his memory lapse with a huge amount of documentation. Youssef Nada and his friends had also founded Al-Taqwa Bank in Nassau in the Bahamas. As the purpose of this enterprise, they listed the care of private investments of the shareholders as well as expected clients in the carrying out of Sharia law given in the Islamic banking world. Among the 500 shareholders, besides Huber, Himat, and Nada, were, quote, also a notorious right extremist from Italy, not further identified, but this is Alessandro Karim Abdul Gay, and three members of the Bin Laden family. The Al-Taqwa group also spread out to firms in Liechtenstein and Great Britain, and it soon developed contacts in many lands. By the way, I would note that Talat Othman, a key director of Harkin Energy, associate of both George Bush and the giver of an Islamic benediction at the Republican Convention in 2000, interceded on behalf of many of Al-Taqwa's contacts in the United States, or people connected with Al-Taqwa in the United States, when their assets were raided by the Treasury Department on March 20th. Continuing. It, speaking of Al-Taqwa, it followed the teaching of the Quran and gave 2.5845% of its profits as zakat that came to $300,000 in 1992, and 2 years later was around $1.6 million. The money went into accounts in the Akita Bank in Nassau, Kreditanstalt Bankverein in Vienna, the Al-Rajd Banking and Investment Corporation in Saudi Arabia, and the finance house of Safat in Kuwait. A great part went to the International Islamic Relief Organization, or IIRO. From there, investigators can follow the trail again to groups from Al-Qaeda. Other Zakat money went to Tunisian fundamentalist groups that likewise had ties to bin Laden. According to Italian investigating reports from the police, the Al-Taqwa group financed Islamic extremism in Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, Yemen, Sudan, and Afghanistan. It also supported the Muslim Brotherhood, the Algerian GIA, and even the Abu Nidal group. Next, we're going to focus on Ahmed Idris Nasreddin, one of the founders of Al-Taqwa, one of its principal shareholders, and also a person whose activities through NIGH and Gulf Office heavily overlapped the milieu of Silvio Berlusconi and the Alleanza Nazionale, and in fact, one of the people who is part of what Kevin Coogan calls Nasreddin's wider circle is Gustavo Selva, who's actually a parliamentary deputy in the Italian parliament for the Alleanza Nazionale. Turning to this particular section of Kevin's summary, investigators were especially interested in Youssef Nada's ties to Akita Bank, which shares the same address as Al-Taqwa at 10 DeVos Street, number 10, in Nassau. The Akita Bank belongs to the financial imperium of the Milan-based Kuwaiti named Ahmed Idris Nasreddin and his sons. And Nasreddin was not only an important shareholder in Al-Taqwa Bank. His connections to Al-Taqwa were so close that their employees worked at the same time in the business affairs of both operations. Nasreddin is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood as well. And just as Nada has connections to think tanks, so Nasreddin has ties to high circles in Italian politics. Gustavo Selva belongs to Nasreddin's wider circle. The former journalist and parliamentary member today of the post-fascist Party Alleanza Nazionale, Selva was until April 19, 1999, involved in the Roman-based business, the Arab-Italian Consulting House. 6 months before it went under on September 18, 1998, a certain Sergio Martini was named the firm's official receiver. Marini, M-A-R-I-N-I, was, together with the Nasreddin International Group Limited Holdings, also part of the Milan-registered Line Investment SRL. Since 1988, Marini was CEO of Line Development Light Industry and Environment Development SRL in Rome, whose administrative director was Abu Rabim Nasreddin, along with his deputy Galeb Himat, himself a founder of Al-Taqwa Group. On September 12, 1977, Ahmed Idris Nasreddin, in the bureau of the Liechtenstein Rektor Treuhandanstalt in Vaduz, also founded the Nasreddin International Group Limited Holding, or NASCO. The founding capital of 100,000 Swiss francs came from an account that had been included a week before in a branch of Banco di Roma in Chiasso. Only in the second half of the 1990s did anyone begin to pay attention to any of these developments, when the role of the Milan-based Islamic Center on Viale Jenner 50 played in the role of the recruitment of the Mujahideen during the Bosnian War. The center's imam had been liquidated by the Croatian Secret Service in 1995 in an operation against Islamic fighters in Bosnia. After the war, the back house of the mosque served as a meeting point for Al-Qaeda fighters from around the world. From here, again and again, there were calls to the central Al-Qaeda group in Afghanistan. And it was Ahmed Idris Nasreddin who paid for the center. A series of businesses of the Nasreddin group, as well as a construction worker cooperative at Paradiso, also had direct contact with the mosque. The Italian investigators of all this didn't always understand Nasreddin's investments in an economic sense. And I would note here that one need not be Sherlock Holmes to figure out that Nasreddin was using his alleged business activities as a cover for something else. Continuing with Kevin's account, there was a ship that was supposed to carry dates that spent 5 months going back and forth between the Italian and Adriatic coast, or the more than 100 kilos of oranges that were flown into Italy. The investigators even found that the devout Muslim Nasreddin had ordered an entire cargo of pig's meat. The investigators believed Nasreddin was concealing his real operations via apparently senseless business activities. And next, we're going to note connections between Nasreddin's advisory milieu and an organization called FEMO, which in turn was investigated in connection with the Clean Hands investigation that we heard about in Side 1. And FEMO was connected to the genesis of the business activities of Silvio Berlusconi in the late 1960s when he was a relative unknown. The deeper investigators dug, the more senseless it seemed. For example, the Liechtenstein registered Nasreddin International Limited Holdings on October 20, 1994, decided to change its name to Middle East and Turkey Investment Holding Limited. And then 8 days later, it returned to its original name. There is also the fact that Nasreddin, at the founding of the Nasreddin International Group Limited Holding in January of 1977, appointed, next to Dr. Enrico Valzer as trustee, of all people, the Ticino lawyer Dr. Ettore Doninelli to the administrative board. Doninelli, until his death, was seen as the soul of the Lugano finance society, FIMO, that was widely involved in the financial scandals of the 1990s. FIMO helped Italians to send up to 250 million Swiss francs yearly in capital flight. Even more definitive is the role FIMO has played since 1968 in the financing into the millions of the first projects of the, at the time, utterly unknown construction builder from Milan, Silvio Berlusconi. The knowledge of how capital from the married pair of Ercole and Stefania Doninelli went from ETI Holdings in Chiasso to more stops in the Interchange Bank, and from there to Italcantieri, a company headed by two Berlusconi strawmen, finally ended with the mass bankruptcy of FIMO. Yet the investigation of financial illegal funding by FIMO of Italian parties, which was begun in the beginning of 1992, P.S., that was the Clean Hands investigation to which I alluded, was nothing in comparison to the discovery that FIMO also washed money for the Italian mafia as well as South African drug cartels. FIMO member Giuseppe Latussi has no problem transferring $12 million from the Sicilian mafia family Madonia to the Colombian Medellin cartel, as the Italo-American mafia member Joe Cufaro told Palermo investigator Giovanni Falcone in his confession. The scandal affected the president of FIMO, Flavio Cotti, who was also an outside political spokesman of the Bern regime. His cousin, Gianfranco Cotti, is a member of the Swiss National Assembly. Flavio Cotti fled FIMO's administrative council in great haste and avoided investigation. The paper here by Kevin Coogan, in turn accessing the Donani book, also talks about links between a fellow named Engelbert Schreiber Jr. and people connected to the Medellin cartel and the milieu of Ahmed Idris Nasreddin. In the interest of time, I'm simply going to make reference to that and to skip ahead to more discussion here of some of the interesting connections between the milieu of Al-Taqwa and some of the post-war fascist international milieu, in this case the milieu of Italian Prime Minister, former P2 member and Alleanza Nazionale coalition partner Silvio Berlusconi. The Akita Bank of Nasreddin was also supposed to be concerned with the spreading of Islamic banking practices. The Lugano-registered affiliate of the bank listed, along with its founder, Nasreddin, the Ticino-based Pierfelici Barchi. This attorney had great experience with rich and influential foreign customers. Barchi was also concerned with the Ticino financial interests of Italian Prime Minister Berlusconi and the Saudi minority partner in Berlusconi's media group Mediaset, Prince Al-Walid Al-Talal. Felice Barchi is also very closely connected to the Banco del Gottardo milieu. He is the attorney for Youssef Nada, and he's a former law partner of Carlo Del Ponte, currently in charge of the war crimes trial of Slobodan Milosevic in The Hague in the Netherlands. Note that Barchi is also an attorney for Berlusconi. One of the things that we're going to talk about next is the aforementioned Ahmed Huber's involvement with securing former Red Army weapons to be sent to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and also Islamist combatants elsewhere around the world, although this actually would have taken place in 1996, so the Soviets were out of Afghanistan at this point. During the investigation of Nasruddin and Nada's circle, Milan investigators were no more amazed when on September 30, 2000, a Tunisian named Habib Wadani surfaced with the information about Ahmed Huber and his central role with his Islamic friends. Habib Wadani, in the spring of 1996, had gone with Rodolfo M., a Zurich-living attorney from Sicily, and met a businessman from the Baltic who made a tempting offer, namely access to the weapon surplus of the former Red Army. There was even talk of the possibility of widening the deal to include nuclear material from the former USSR. What was lacking was a buyer. The Sicilian brought in an Islamic attorney named Camille B., living in Zurich, for advice, and he, in turn, called in his good friend Huber. There was not only an interest in Russian weapons, but also a quick solution ready for the logistics parts. Then, after discussion of the Byzantine route taken by these weapons for the deal, Kevin goes on to discuss the apparent consummation of this deal, brokered in part by Ahmed Huber. Kevin then goes on to summarize some of the information connecting Saeed Ramadan of the Muslim Brotherhood with Francois Genoux, and also Dawood Salahuddin, whom we looked at in For the Record 373, an African-American who converted to Islam and who committed an assassination on behalf of the Iranian regime in 1980. The concluding element in Kevin Coogan's expose concerns a summit of the far right that was attended by Ahmed Huber and also Gianfranco Fini, the coalition, the head of the Alleanza Nazionale and the coalition partner of Silvio Berlusconi. Perhaps the most recent remarkable story concerning Huber comes from a brief item in the Swiss tabloid Blick that in an April 26, 2002 article by Alexander Sauter that Huber was involved in a meeting of far-right leaders from Europe. A photo showing Huber with Jean-Marie Le Pen accompanies the article. The Blick story, available on the web, is as follows. Montpellerin VD. Christian Cambuzat, the promoter, scharfmacher of the right extremist Jean-Marie Le Pen. The guru assembles together some of the top leaders of the European right. On the idyllic Mont Pelerin, they debate their crude ideas. And then talking about some of the people who were present, Franz Schoenhuber, founder of the Republican Party in Germany and a former member of the SS. He talked with Le Pen, who constitutes together with Schoenhuber the Front National faction in the European Parliament. Also attending this meeting, Gianfranco Fini, Italian post-fascist Mussolini admirer and founder of the Alleanza Nazionale. He was also at the meeting with Le Pen and Schoenhuber. And Ahmed Huber, the Swiss is on the Bush administration blacklist. And he discusses, the article discusses Huber's attendance at this particular meeting. Also, at the extremist rendezvous, an American far-right politician who was also supposed to have taken part. And as Kevin notes, this far-right politician is not named. The article goes on to speculate about the possible significance of these fascist, Nazi, Islamist connections. And I would note, as Kevin speculates, for this reason, there has been virtually no independent investigation into Sicos Baudin-Dunant's relationship to Genoux, or for that matter, the role that the Syrian-born Mohammed Mardam Bey, believed to be related to a former Syrian foreign minister, has played as a member of Magnin, Dunant and Associates, as well as Bey's possible links with Genoux. And by the way, this is that observation in light of the fact that that people like Francois Genoux and Baudin Dunant are names unknown to most Americans. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 377, titled Update on Al-Taqwa and the Post-War Fascist International, being recorded on September 15th of 2002. Remember, there will be a description of this program on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com within a week. And in addition to the Spitfire website, note that sister station WFMU is archiving the programs on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older programs available for download only on a URL connected to both the Spitfire and the WFMU.org URLs. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.